Have our Bible readings now, and as we read together, we just pray that God would help us to hear and feel what he wants us to communicate to us this morning. The first reading is from Psalm 23, and the second is from John chapter 10. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. And John 10, 1 to 16, and then 26 to 31. Today I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the stranger's voice. Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Jesus said again, "Truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep don't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. But you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, the Jews picked up rocks to stone him. Amen.
So you might remember how I've mentioned that we're in the season of Easter. It's not just one day, it's a whole season of 50 days that invites us to reflect on the time between Jesus' resurrection and the day of Pentecost. That whole time, 6 weeks, are the season of Easter. During this time, we remember and reflect on Jesus' appearances to his disciples, but frankly, there are not many records of appearances. We are provided the descriptions of only 10 appearances, from Jesus appearing to women in the garden, to various encounters with his immediate disciples, and then finally to as many as 120 disciples outside of Bethany for his ascension. We are provided 10 descriptions of appearances, but over 50 days, surely there was more. You're likely wondering to yourself, why did he appear to his disciples and not just go straight to heaven? Because he could have done that. I mean, he resurrected. Why not just go to glory right then? It's a good question for us to be asking. And the answer is not so that he could show off his new resurrection body, but rather, the writer of the Acts of the Apostles noted, I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So we're given a glimpse here that during that time, now I say 40 days and then 50 days. So 50 days between Easter and Pentecost, but Jesus was physically present for 40 of those days, which ends with the ascension. But the whole period is Easter. So during those 40 days, Luke is telling us here that Jesus appeared to them and many times, and we know that because we have records of 10, but he appeared specifically so he could give them instructions, so he could solidify all he had taught. The correct answer then is to give instructions and to speak further with them about the kingdom of God. He didn't appear generally to everybody. He appeared only to his disciples for very specific, deep, and focused times. Now, about the content of that focused teaching, we're not provided many more details than what Luke has written here. We know he commanded the disciples to wait into Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit, and we know that he reinstated Peter with a commission to feed my lambs and shepherd my sheep. But beyond that, not much is provided, really. However, this is not the first time Jesus referred to his disciples using the image of sheep. In the great 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, he presented himself as the good shepherd, and he spoke metaphorically of the disciples as my sheep. So why did Jesus use this metaphor to describe his friends? Is it really a helpful metaphor? Because it is not only a little bit offensive, frankly. Decide the value of the metaphor, then, to get a glimpse into what Jesus taught the disciples during those 40 days. Let us look more closely at its use in our scripture focus, John chapter 10, so that we might better know what are the characteristics of his sheep. We might then become more comfortable with this label. Certainly more comfortable than James was down here. Anyway, the first characteristic we need to understand is that Christ's sheep believe in him. We learn this in our scripture focus from the Gospel of John, where it's written, "You don't believe because you are not my sheep." So when Jesus uttered these words, he was in the temple at Jerusalem during a festival. He was walking around the temple with his disciples when they were surrounded by members of the Jewish religious establishment. Now, during a religious festival, those who gather are typically more spiritually attuned, for that's normally why we go to religious festivals. We go to such festivals to meet with God's people and to draw close to God. Indeed, our Sunday worship is a festival in kind. Now, this group that is talking to Jesus seems on the face of it to have been earnest in wanting to know whether Jesus was in fact the promised Messiah. It doesn't sound like a challenge per se. They really want to know, are you? Yet, we should ask, were they truly open to the answer? Because Jesus' response is, I did tell you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me. See, this group asked Jesus this question because despite his claims that they had heard many times, and despite the evidence before them that they had seen, they could not make up their own minds about whether he was in fact the promised Messiah. So, did they want signs and wonders? Well, Jesus had already performed such deeds of power. Did they want him to claim that title? Well, he had already done so on a number of occasions, albeit a little bit indirectly. In such a state, Jesus' affirmative answer to their question would not have made up their minds for them. They would have to do that for themselves. They had seen the facts. They needed to make the decision to place their faith in him. It is clear, therefore, that to become one of the Lord's sheep, one must believe in him. This is the initial step into the fold of God's love and grace to become one of his own. The next verse reveals some more characteristics of Jesus' sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So this verse reveals that the next characteristic is Christ's sheep recognize his voice as their shepherd. But they do more than just hear sounds emanating from the shepherd, for the sense of the word hear means to believe something and to respond to it on the basis of having heard. Thus, perhaps the old-fashioned word heed might be a better translation, providing the sense of active listening. In other words, Christ's sheep obey the voice of the good shepherd because they recognize it as his. Oh, my shepherd is talking now. I had better go and hear what he has to say. The next clause in this verse tells us Christ's sheep are known by him. This is stated even more explicitly in verse 14, where it says, I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. In this metaphor, then, there is very remarkable bond between the shepherd and his sheep. He knows them. They know him. There is a closeness. There is a relationship. And note the point in these verses. It's not that the shepherd knows his flock. His flock is his generally. Oh, that group of sheep over there, they're mine. I mean, he knows that. But the point of this verse is telling us that the shepherd actually knows his sheep individually. He knows that one is his, and that one is his, and that one is his amongst all those that are his. Christ's sheep are known by him. And then the final clause of verse 27 tells us Christ's sheep follow him. See, we become sheep in the flock of the good shepherd when we believe in him. We will thus listen intently for his voice and recognize it when we hear it. We know who is our shepherd, and the good shepherd knows his sheep, each one. Recognizing the voice of the good shepherd, we then follow him and follow his instructions. Verses 4 and 5 provide us an application for why following the good shepherd is a good idea. We read there, when he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. See, the good shepherd leads his sheep outside the confines of the sheep pen. Why? Because outside is open fields, tasty pasture, and fresh water. The good shepherd protects the sheep while they are out there, and he cares for them. His sheep trust him, obey him, and respect his authority because he has promised to provide for them all they need and because he has made good on those promises. But not so the strangers, who seem like they might be good shepherds, but inevitably are only in the shepherding business for the book sales, for the YouTube advertising revenue, for invitations to the best parties, or being asked to speak to an issue on the tabloid news channel. There was an interesting and questionable example of this on Channel 7's Sunrise Morning Show this past Wednesday, where Jay Shetty was introduced to us. He has become the love guru to celebrities, having a social media following of 50 million people. Yet what exactly are his credentials for this so-called expertise on the subject of love? This guy is a British podcaster, life coach, and author, having recently published a New York Times bestseller titled 8 Rules of Love, How to Find It, Keep It, and Let It Go. A British Indian, Shetty grew up in North London. He graduated from the Cass Business School at City, University of London, where he met Gauranga Das, a monk who was invited to speak at the school on selflessness and living a minimalist lifestyle. Shetty followed the monk for the remainder of his lecture circuit around the United Kingdom. Shetty claims to have spent 4 summers in India interning at corporations and training with the International Society for Christian Consciousness, otherwise known as the Hare Krishna movement, and to have spent 3 years living a Vedic monk lifestyle at an ashram in Mumbai, India, a lifestyle which involves intense fasting and meditation, simplicity and celibacy. So what then are his credentials as an expert in relationships and love? Only that he went to business school, spent time as a Hindu monk, has become relatively successful as a business owner, but very successful as a social media influencer. Does he have any good advice about relationships and love? Well, perhaps. But I find his credentials to be lacking and his advice to be hypocritical. For instance, he encourages people to be less reliant on digital devices, yet creates the type of viral content that keeps people engaged in social media to their detriment. So when thinking of Jay Shetty and other social media influencers, I cannot help but be reminded of Jesus' words, "A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance." So avoiding strangers, the sheep believe in the Good Shepherd. They hear his voice. They know him and are known by him. So follow him, not the strangers or the hired hands. Besides these characteristics, the sheep following the Good Shepherd are also identified by their marks, of which there are 2. "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." So verse 28 of this gospel tells us one of those marks is Christ's sheep possess eternal life. The open fields of pasture and fresh water, comfort and joy, are not merely what we need to sustain life now at a basic subsistence. Even more than what we need presently, we are provided for eternally. Eternal life is the Good Shepherd's gift to the sheep of his flock, who are the Lord's people. This means eternal life is not merited, as if sheep can do much at all for themselves. Eternal life is received by faith. Consider 2 other passages that speak to this topic. From Romans, we have, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And from Ephesians, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." So the facts are the identity of the Good Shepherd, and his skill as a shepherd to lead his sheep to open field, green pastures, crisp and clean water, etc. Our faith is to believe on, listen to be known by, and follow this shepherd, avoiding all others who mean us harm, ultimately. The gift of faith is to be cared for, comforted, and commissioned to receive eternal life from the Good Shepherd. A mark, then, of placing our faith in Jesus is that his sheep have eternal life. The final mark is that Christ's sheep are eternally secure. This is clearly stated in our scripture focus. "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." What precious verses 28 and 29 are, and what comfort they have been to God's people. However, the second verse, 29, is tricky to interpret, for the manuscript evidence presents problems. The earliest and majority of manuscripts place the emphasis on the them that have been given to Jesus as being greater than all, whatever that means in this context. But to try to make sense of it, some translations turn the words around a little bit. So taking those problems into account, it seems to me the best way to make sense of this verse is to start by noticing the them of these verses are the sheep, the friends of Jesus, who have placed their faith in him. With this in mind, then, perhaps this verse is another way of stating that other great parable involving a lost sheep. When he has found, he joyfully places it on his shoulders, and coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance." See, once the sheep belong to the good shepherd, they are like a precious gift that is greater to the good shepherd than all gifts. Indeed, for the time, the one lost sheep, having been found, becomes greater than all the others because they have been found. They have returned to the fold. They have returned to the flock. So they are precious, the sheep. The Father, greater than all, especially compared to those who would try to steal the sheep from the good shepherd or to prevent them from entering his sheepfold. Therefore, these verses are a comfort to the sheep, for they tell us we are eternally secure. We are precious, as long as we willingly remain in the fold of the good shepherd. For he and the Father are united in their work. They will protect and they will provide for the sheep. There is no need nor reason for the sheep to wander away or to go astray, nor to worry about strangers. From our scripture focus, then, we have learned what the good shepherd says about his sheep, that they believe in him, they hear his voice, they are known by him, they follow him, they possess eternal life, and are eternally secure. This is truly a beautiful picture and a comforting description of those who have placed their faith in Jesus and have begun to live a Christian lifestyle. However, let me be brutally honest. I, for one, am not too happy with being called a sheep. I have placed my faith in Jesus. I am trying to live a Christian lifestyle, but I would rather be the lion than the lamb, one who is victorious rather than one who is dependent. Now, I made that decision when on a motorcycle ride to Adelaide. As I was riding along endless fields outside of Narrandera, I happened to notice a sheep with its head caught in a fence. Apparently, that's a fairly common insistent, right? I felt sympathy for the sheep, so I turned around to see if I could help. As I got off my bike, it appeared obvious this sheep was going nowhere and would likely die with its stupid head caught in a fence. As I got closer, though, the sheep became afraid of me, so started to wriggle, and finally freed itself from the fence. That's not what I was thinking. See, if I had not looked mean and scary in my black leather denim and biker boots, that sheep would have died from exposure, unwilling to put in the effort to wriggle itself free, which it obviously could have easily done. No, I don't want to be a sheep. Friends, that is pride. And it is precisely because of such pride that I had modeled for me, at a young age, a fallen lifestyle. And so I began to live in sin, in rebellion against my Creator, the Father who has only ever wanted to protect me from the evil one and to provide for me all I need, and sometimes even a little of what I want. So let's say you stick with your pride. You also don't want to be a sheep. I get it. But consider this. Do you always have what you need? Are you always able to provide the necessities of life for your loved ones? Have you ever found yourself hungry and cold, lonely and uncertain, with no one to turn to for help? Does the path you have chosen lead you to rest when you need it? Relaxation when you're tense? Do you always know the path you are on is following the correct or best direction? Have you ever found yourself confused amidst chaos, unsafe in the darkness? Are you able to secure your own safety? Have you ever found yourself in a dark and dangerous place? Have you ever felt your life was threatened, that you were fearful in the midst of great evil? Who is there to protect you and guide you if you cannot for yourself? Do you have enemies, those people and forces that seem intent on limiting your advancement, that malign your honor, or in any number of ways mean you harm? You want to avoid such people and forces, don't you? You would never think of sitting before them at a great feast as the person of honor. From moment to moment, are you confident that you will experience goodness and love from others? Are you comfortable and secure in the lifestyle you have chosen for yourself, in your capacity to achieve all you hope for? Well, we would all prefer to be a lion rather than a lamb, but that is just not the human condition for the vast majority of us. And for those at the top of the food chain, they are only there because of the pain and suffering experienced by those beneath their rung on the ladder. A pain and suffering they experience because of the choices of the elite. Well, if that's you, then I guess you are doing fine, with nothing to feel sorry for nor ashamed about. But for the rest of us, being a sheep is not nearly as bad as you may think. The good shepherd is indeed good and greater than all. He protects and provides for his sheep. He leads them along paths that are peaceful and that bring joy to the heart even when there is darkness and danger. For the sheep can trust in the good shepherd. Compared to the would-be lions, the shepherd of the great sheep, of the sheep of the good shepherd, are honored before their enemies and enjoy the best of the feast he provides and will provide. Out of the grace and generosity of his love, the great shepherd pursues his sheep so as to guide them to safety and comfort in his house, the gated sheepfold, for the duration of our lives and into eternity. You may not like the image, but I will set aside my pride and declare boldly that I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy that reaches out to us, that even pursues us when we find ourselves in the midst of dark valleys. And indeed, those dark valleys are plentiful, and we find ourselves there far too often. We thank you for your love and for your mercy, for your gentle hand that guides us, nurtures us, nudges us along to take the right steps out of those dark places, to instead find ourselves beside quiet waters where we have all we need. Thank you, good shepherd, for caring for us, and help us in our pride to see your love and mercy, to see your desire to protect and to provide for us. Help us to respond with trust and with obedience, to claim this image as our own, for we are your people, the chosen sheep of your fold. And we thank you, Lord, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.